We're going to jump right into the sermon for today. We are in the series called Winning the War on Your Mind. And this week, we're going to jump in what's called the rewire principle. We're going to come from Psalm 142, the entire psalm, Psalm 142. It should be on the screen beside me. And it reads as follows. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. I need everybody to repeat after me. Say, we're breaking cycles. Sounds like y'all trying to stay here. Let's try that again. We're breaking cycles. We're winning the war in our minds. Last week, we discussed the replacement principle where we replaced the lie with the truth, and it was a great time with you. And we identified the lies we tell ourselves. And then this year of power, we are taking captive the thoughts and destroying the strongholds. But this week, we're dealing with the rewire principle, rewiring our brains and renewing our minds. This week, we want to deal with instances in life where it's not a lie, but you and I are going through a trial season or a tough time. And the question is, how are we dealing with that stimuli? It's one thing to speak against an untruth, but how do you handle when it's not a fabricated or false narrative, but I'm going through a rough patch? I'm dealing with adversity. I'm bearing the weight of a situation. It's overwhelming. This is not a cycle of lies. But how do I respond to tough times can be cyclical when I'm not leaning on God with my actions, my perspectives, and my responses to adversity. Today, we're going to talk about rewiring our brains and renewing our minds when handling rough places. And our first part today, I'll have 2 points, hoop, spin, sit down. Our first part today is, this is a rough place. Let the church say, this is a rough place. One more time, this. I know it's hard to say that because y'all sitting in seats that recline in a leather. I got it. One more time, this is a rough place. The text I'm reading takes place in a cave. Theologians suggest that it's the cave of Adullam. And being in a cave is bad enough, but it's what puts our protagonist David in that cave that makes it rough. David is the one who took out Goliath in the Bible. David is the one who is the newly anointed king, but not yet the appointed king. Side note, rewiring my brain means that I trust God's choosing of me, even when it lands me in a rough place. David is at odds with Saul, the king who was chosen but has lost his anointing of God over his life. The conflict arises because David is walking in his purpose, and the more he walks in his purpose, the more Saul is irritated, and now he gets himself in trouble. Rewire in 2024 means, own the part you played in your own struggles, and don't take your frustrations out on others who God is deciding to use. So after the wins that David piled up in battle and being a child of God, there's tension between him and Saul. The people are favoring David. This is a rough place. Saul tests David. He still succeeds. This is a rough place. David is now on the run with his band of 400 men, and he ends up in Gath. And Gath is important because Gath is the homeland of Goliath, the guy he just killed. This is a rough place. So this text finds us in a cave. The text has David contemplating his life's decisions after following the Lord. He's asking himself, how did I get here? And what's this call on my life? And where did I go wrong? And what's going on? God, I'm following you, but it has me in a rough place. And this won't shout us or get us excited, But we can all talk back to each other real quick because we've all been there before. Amen? We've all been in a place where it's not sin that's caused me to get in trouble, but it's following God that has me in a rough place. We, like David, were fine tending the sheep of life, but God, now you called me to be a king. We, like David, were fine doing my own thing. We don't have problem with people, but all of a sudden, everybody has a problem with you because you decided to follow the Holy Spirit. We, like David, said, God, you're choosing me, but it's coming at a cost that I didn't expect to pay. And isn't it interesting that there are 400 other persons in the scenario, but David doesn't lean on any of them. David leans on God. And there's a shout right there because when I'm in a rough place, I need somebody to lean on. I cry out to the Lord, the text says. In other words, God, I can lean on you. I plead for the Lord's mercy. In other words, God, I can lean on you. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles because when I'm in a rough place, we all need somebody to lean on. And is there a shout in the 9 a.m. worship experience that says, when things get rough, I know I can, let me try that again. Is there a shout? Listen, I know some of the stories. I know that you know when you're in a rough place, there is a God that you can lean on. If you believe that, why don't you give God some praise? No. You are better than what you've been, and you coming through was not always a bed of ease, so your shout can be even bigger. When everything was dark, when you didn't know where you were going, not because you sinned, but because you were walking up the King's Highway, then trouble struck. There's a praise. God, you were with me when you let me get into the rough place. He's with you in the rough place. That's why we sing that song, I Trust in God, my Savior, the one who has never failed. I called the Lord and he heard and he answered. There's a praise right there that God has been with us. This is not me trying to get you to be emotional. It's called about when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, then my soul cries out, hallelujah. But let's be honest. We don't always do that because we have our wires crossed. When wires are crossed in a home, it can cause equipment damage and even fires. When wires are crossed in our minds, there's a failure to understand, there's confusion, and we make errant decisions when things get rough. So when our wires are crossed, we go into a shell and we don't talk to anybody. When our wires are crossed, we talk to people first and not the Lord, and we get frustrated when situations don't change and we don't have peace. When things get rough, our wires get crossed, and we think that the cave is bigger than our creator. When our wires get crossed, we don't have fires in our home, but some of us get ulcers. Some of us have stress. Some of us have the unnecessary weight that we weren't meant to carry. And God is saying, I already knew the cave was coming. I already saw the drama unfolding. I already saw this happening a lifetime away. So what I need you to do is lean on me when you're, listen, here's what can work. Psalm 55, 22 says this, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. Call on God when the rough times show up. First Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Even when you get anxious, I need you to call on the Lord. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're nice, but I need to talk to God first. Point to yourself, say, self, I love you, but I need you to talk to God first. Rub the theater, say, movie tavern, the seats are nice, but I love God more than I love being comfortable because I'm going to lean on God when things get rough. If you believe that, give God some praise. Can I help you real quick? David was at a point of decision making because he was in what's called the in-between time. Let the church say in-between time. He's in between the time of separate events. Brother Kenyon, he's in the cave now, but if he gives up here, he will never get the chance to be a king later. Right now, it's rough. But if he goes after Saul errantly and sends his men to kill Saul, he'll stop being the man of God that God called him to be. He's in the cave now, but the reason why it's important to trust God and trust the Lord is that his future is predicated on how he's handling his present time. So having God present in your life can help you in the rough places, but can it also help you secure your destiny? So before you sign the papers on the deal and things are rough in negotiations, I need you to talk to God. Before you end the relationship because your wires got crossed, I need you to talk to God. Before you say you can't do it, when God says with all things in him, things are possible, I need you to talk to God. Before you say I can't give my talents or I can't volunteer, I need you to talk to God. Before you express someone who did you wrong just because you got a spirit of pettiness, I need you to not forget who's fighting your battles and talk with God. Listen, let's make a declaration on this Super Bowl Sunday. God, we had our wires crossed, but now before things go crazy, we're going to have a little talk with Jesus. Before things go off, we will cry out to the Lord. That's not a lie, but we're going to rewire our brains and renew our minds so God can bless me when I'm in a rough place. If you believe that, give God some praise. It's a rough place, it's a rough place, it's a rough place, it's a rough place. Second point, I'm done. But the church say, digging my way out. One more time, digging my way out. In verses 1 to 3, he's talking and he's complaining to God about his trouble. Side note, God is big enough to handle our complaints. But complaining should not be the full narrative of your story. Something happens in the middle of the text in verse 4. He's analyzing his situation errantly. He says in verse 4, look and see, there's no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. There's an analytic interpretation of the trouble that is errant. David has his wires crossed, but he needs to dig his way out. There is no one. That's a lie. No one is thinking about me. That's a lie. No one will help me. I have no refuge. That's a lie. No one gives a passing thought. No one cares for me. That's a lie. David, you are in a cave full of men who have your back. David, you are a cave full of men who are concerned for you. David, you are in a cave full of people who have you in their thoughts because you are their leader. And even if they become unstable, if no one is there, then David, who are you talking to? If no one is there, then David, who is thinking of you? If no one is there, David, who are you pouring out your complaints before? Ooh, I'm digging out. But David, like us, is in a rut. He's been battling wars for a while now, and based on his previous experiences, his brain has created a neural pathway based on repetition. If I keep responding to a rough patch with the same response of this is the worst, I'll never get out, I'm all alone, then these pathways in your brain create belief systems. Then I begin to believe what I'm seeing because my cyclical response to what has happened to me each time a rough time shows up is I'm never going to win. A rut, when trouble hits, you always run to the same person to debrief and you leave more exhausted than before. A rut, when you're surrounded by the enemy, you lean into eating to release the pleasure principle called endorphins, but the situation never changes and you feel guilty about what you just consumed. A rut, ooh, telling yourself, Pastor, when you're having a bad day, you go to the gym and you overexert yourself and it gives you a sense of accomplishment, but you aren't getting any closer to a solution. If we're going to rewire our minds so that thinking changes, we don't need a rut, we need a trench. A rut is unintentionally created. A rut has no purpose. A rut requires repair. A trench is intentionally dug to deliver a necessary resource. We need to deliberately create new thought patterns to get us to the necessary resource, which is God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, so we can handle the rough place. I need to turn my complaints into a knowledge base of how powerful my God is and think about what God is willing to do for me. I need to rewire my complaints, and I go from things will never change to this too shall pass. Rewiring doesn't mean that you're plugged into a bad source. It just means that my output from my connection is bad. And I need to switch how I'm approaching the cave so I can get out of the cave that's in my mind. When David starts to handle things, when David starts to dig his way out, when David starts to create a new neural pathway, his language changes. He stops complaining about his situation. He stops lying to himself about being abandoned. But now he says what God is and takes who God is to the place of my adversity. Watch this. Verse 5 says, God, you are my refuge, and you are what I need while I still have breath. God, listen to my cry. I need you. Rescue me. I can't do this by myself. He says, God, set me free so I can praise your name. Here's a question for you as I go to take my seat. What are you saying to yourself when you're in your cave? Because what you say to yourself when you're in your cave will have your mind respond to whether or not you get out of your cave at all. Change what you say when you're, get in trouble, Clayton. Guess what? You're going to be in a cave. Your money won't get you out of the cave. Your connections won't get you out of the cave. Not accepting Jesus will get you out of the cave. Everybody's going to go through one, but I need you to go through the work of rewiring your mind so that you use the word and declare the word over the rut so that you can make a trench. Stay with me. Psalm 34:17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of the troubles. Let the church say no more ruts. Come on, y'all. Let the church say no more ruts. Because God hears me and will deliver me out of this. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Let the church say no more ruts. Since God called you to this, this ain't a season for you to be timid, but to have the power and agape love and a sound mind to conquer every situation. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God gave you. Let the church say no more ruts. I'm not going to stay in this cave and hold on to what you did to me. I'm going to release you so I can go on as they say, live my best life. If you believe that, give God a praise in this house. The church say no more ruts. Come on, come on, like you mean it. No more ruts. 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 Listen, we're not staying down anymore. We're not staying defeated anymore. We're not staying in a season of complaining. And we're not letting our environment corrupt our perspective. Let the church say no more ruts. And did you notice? Come on, you better follow the preacher. Did you notice David's reasoning when he renewed his mind? It wasn't just about getting out. It was about getting out so that the name of the Lord can be praised. Woo! Can you rewire your minds so that ultimately God is glorified? God, you can get the praise from getting me out of the cave. God, you can get the praise from making me a king, even though I had to hide. God, you can get the praise. Listen. We normally say, God, get me out of the cave because I don't like to be here. But I challenge you this week to say, God, get me out of the cave so my life can be a testimony to somebody who's in a cave. Listen. Your life is going to help somebody else get out of the cave. The word God put in you is going to help somebody else get out of a cave. How you walk in your cave season is going to let somebody else know that they can make it. Give God some praise in this house if God can get glory out of your life. Rewire. As we stand to our feet, rewire. Rewire, 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 rewire. No more ruts. No more ruts. Go through the process of digging new neural pathways. And you do that by putting the word on the situation. I mentioned it last week, and we had a homework assignment. And I pray that you did it where you said the lie, you went to the truth, you went to the declaration. It's in the app if you want to go through it this week. But the only way that you and I are going to live a conquered existence, or being conquerors as we're called to in the word, is to begin to put the word on the situation. Gone are the days of just positive thinking. Gone are the days of just manifestation. If you are a child of God and you want the power that God has for you, you have to begin to put the word of God in your mouth and begin to exercise it in your life. That's why we're having the masterclass, so that you can be a master of your faith, so that when the cave comes, you know how to effectively handle a cave season. Rewire, renew. If we're honest, yup, it's a rough place. That's cool. But God is with me in a rough place. And when he's with me, I know I can lean on him. Brothers and sisters, stop leaning on other people to do what only God can do. I know they're good friends, but they ain't God. Go to him first for revelation. And let the friends give confirmation for what he already told you. Y'all gonna get mad at me this morning. I can't go to Pastor B for what the Lord says. And that's my rib. I gotta go to him first. And it's amazing. The more I go to him and I talk to her, she'll tell you. I'll get excited. When is this going to come out bad? I get excited in the bedroom, keep it in church. Because what he just said to me, she already said out of her mouth. But that's not coming from her. That's coming from him. I'm asking you to stop putting the weight of God on your friends and family. They are never meant to be in his place. That next level you're looking for is not even going to come from me. I'm a conduit of what God is speaking, but the revelation has to come from you and your relationship with him. You got to put the word on it. And when it's rough, what are you saying about the cave? I'm never going to get out. You ain't never going to get out. I'm never going to make it. Nope, you're never going to make it. I'm all alone. Yup, you're all alone. But start putting the word on the situation. God promises not the situation to change, but you to have peace as God works it out. And that peace is not going to come from your own flesh. That peace is going to come through his word being embedded in your heart. If you believe that, one more time, give God a praise in this place. Listen, 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 listen. Listen, we know we got to go. As the band plays, we're going to do what we do, which is open up the doors of the church, which simply means we're extending an invitation to salvation. We're extending an invitation for you to have the perfect person to be with you as you're going through a cave season. Remember, I just said that David was not alone. He was with God. Now, it's one thing to have a relationship with God, him being omnipresent. It's one thing to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, where you can call him, as the Bible says, Abba Father. So we are extending this invitation to you today. If you are unsure about yourself, if you don't know that you know him, if you can't say definitively that God is the source of everything and this is who I call, then we're opening up the doors of the church. We're extending this invitation to salvation to everyone. Pastor B is right here up front, ready to receive you, ready to pray with you. Yes, we have contact cards. Yes, we have ways to fill out things later, but we're extending a physical invitation today. So if there's one, if there's one, listen, if you're nervous, if you're scared about walking down, tap your neighbor and say, can you walk down with me? And somebody will walk down with you, because we do all of this, so folks can come to a working relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Again, we'll stay here for a little while longer to make sure that you are in the house. You don't leave here unsaved. We'll work on the unchurched part. We'll work on you growing in Christ. But right now, we don't want you to leave here without knowing that Jesus is my Savior. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Listen, if we can bow our heads, we can bow our heads. I'll pray a prayer over us as we look to leave. Don't forget, Masterclass is this upcoming Thursday at 7 o'clock at McGurk. So make sure you're there as our Masterclass begins. Can I say this from the pulpit? We'll make sure that we have some victuals for you. Yes, I just dated myself. We'll have some victuals, something for y'all to snack on. So while you're coming out, amen. Some of y'all like, I'm digging out the cave and I'm hungry. We'll make sure we got a little something for you to eat as we dig into the Word of God. But let's pray, let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for showing us, even in a rough season, you're there for us to lean on. God, we also thank you that you are challenging us to dig ourselves out of these mental ruts by putting your word in action in every situation. We love you, Lord, and we can't do this thing called life without you. Now, God, protect us and keep us as we leave this physical tavern, but never from your presence. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Let all God's children say amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God some praise one more time. Resurgence, we love you. We'll see you guys next week. Take care. God bless.